We're going to go to the sixth chapter of the book of Jeremiah. If you would, please stand with me in the reverence of reading of God's word. We're going to start reading in verse number 15. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall at the time that I visit them. They shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, which is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. And also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. Let us pray. Father, again, I thank you today for the precious Bible, the Word of God, and I thank you for this opportunity once again to stand and proclaim your word. I ask you, Father, for power and for wisdom tonight as I preach. I need you, my Heavenly Father. I need you more than I need anything else in this whole world. And so I ask you, Lord, to help me, empower me, and use me to bring forth this which you've appointed. And then, God, you take it and use it in our hearts. And then, Father, we'll remember to praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The old paths. You know, the problem with the old paths was that Israel had walked away from them. I'm going to show you a verse of scripture in a moment. I think it's sad sometimes when we hear people say, oh, I wish we had that old time religion. To me, that's sad. We ought to have had it all along. Old time religion is nothing but Bible religion. That's all it is. Just the Bible, the Word of God. It isn't something new, and it's something we ought to have been keeping all along. It's one of the reasons we put here, in our theme for tonight, 30 years of old time religion. Now listen to me. You know, churches have ups and downs. Churches have problems because Satan is around. Churches are not perfect. Blessed Hope Baptist Church has never been perfect. Never will be. Blessed Hope Baptist Church has had its trials and its tribulations. That's part of it. But the whole thing is, don't get away from the old paths. If you get away from them, get back on them. Get called back to the old paths and stay on the old paths. That's what this week has been about. We've been putting the accent not on any problems or troubles in the church, but on the wonderful things that God has done. And he has. He's done tremendous things here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and we want to see him continue to do that. You don't look back and say, oh, this happened, that happened. No, you go on for God. And the only way that you can do that is stay on the old paths. And just keep right on the old paths. You see, the problem was, he said here that he was calling them back, ask you for the old paths. He said, you'll find rest for your soul. You see, we need rest. And they had got away from God, so they had no rest for their soul. And we're living, I believe, in a time when, my goodness, it is sure certainly a time of unrest. And the reason for the unrest is we've gotten away from the Bible, the Word of God. And we just need to get back to God's Word. And we'll find rest for our soul. I want to start off our message tonight by going with me over to the book of Exodus, please. The 24th chapter of the book of Exodus. I'm going to start reading in verse number 3. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments, and all the people answered with one voice and said, All the words which the Lord has said will we do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord and rose up early in the morning and builded an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offering of oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in the basin, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people, and they said, "All that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient." I want you to notice there twice. In verse number 3 and also verse number 7, the people said, after hearing what God had said to Moses, he gave them the word of God. And here's what they said: "We will obey it. We will absolutely do what you said to do, what God told us to do." Now, we find over, and I'm just going to go over in chapter 32 of the book of Exodus. I don't think I have to probably go that far before I find problems with Israel, but I'm going to go over there, chapter 32 and verse 15, and it says, "And Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand, and tables were written on both sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, 'There is a noise of war in the camp.' And he said, 'It is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear.' And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand and brake them beneath the mount." You're familiar with this portion of Scripture. You come down from the mount, Moses did, and there they was. They'd made a golden calf, and he was so angry about it, they was dancing around and singing and having fun and doing so in a lewd way. And Moses threw the tables down and broke them. What I'm saying to you is simply this. A little short time before that, they said, "Oh, yes, God, we will do exactly what you said. We will do it." Now, what I want to show you, should we proclaim things like that? Should we say that we will do what God says? Oh, certainly, I believe we should. I think that's why Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He made a proclamation that he was going to serve the Lord. I think everybody ought to make some proclamations that they're going to do a certain thing. And Joshua did exactly what he said he would do. He served the Lord. Him and his family served the Lord. So it's important that we make these proclamations. I'm going to read you just a little bit of verses of Scripture out of the book of Daniel. Just listen with me, please. It says, "Now if you be ready, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." These men made a proclamation. You know what? No matter if you want to throw us in the fiery furnace, we are absolutely going to not worship the gods that you have set up. We're not going to. That was a proclamation made. They should make that. We should determine that. But listen, they did it. They ended up in the fiery furnace. Now, what I want to share with you is this, and I want you to listen to this preacher for a few minutes. Folks, we can talk all we want to talk. I have heard preaching all this week, good preaching, proclamations made. I'm thankful for them. They should be made. We've got young men that stood and preached in this pulpit, and this is what they intend to do. This is what they intend to be. And they mean it from, I believe, from the bottom of their heart. They mean that. They've said that. But talk without actions means nothing. What I'm saying to you is this, folks, that the real test is going to come when you do it, not when you talk about it. Now, when should they have talked about it? Yes, they should have. They should have made those proclamations, and I'm proud of them for doing it. But I'm just simply saying to you folks, the old paths are not kept by talking. The old paths are kept by doing and walking. And so what I'm saying to you, and I want you to understand this, because I know these young people that we have, and oh, I'm so proud of them, and they've preached and they've done just a great job. But I know something. Tests are going to come. You see, when you determine to do something for God and hold to the old paths, I want to guarantee you, old Satan's going to do everything he can to get you off of those old paths. And right now, we're probably like Peter. We'd say, oh, Lord, I would never deny thee, Lord. But let tests come. Let trials come. Let tribulation come. Let you get all wore down and weary. For years of service. And then tells the test, are you going to walk in the old paths or not? The proof of your ministry and my ministry is if we just stick in there and stick with the old paths. And we don't quit. Now, should these young men, yes, I tell you, I've been so blessed this week. Should every preacher get up? I do it too. I make proclamations. I say this and I say that. But the test is, do we do it? Now, I want to show you over in the book of Judges, the second chapter of the book of Judges, please. Second chapter, book of Judges. I want to start reading at verse number 7. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. Now you hear me, what's going on? Joshua is going to die. We're going to find that out in verse number 8. But the people served the Lord in the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders they outlived Joshua, who had seen all the great works. These people had witnessed the great works that God had done through Joshua and the people of Israel during his leadership. And then it says, and Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Heres, in the mount of Ephraim on the north side of the hill Gash. And also all that generation were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord and served Balaam. You may not understand. You may not understand all the time why the preacher just harps and harps for the young couples and the young people of this church to step up. Because what needs to be seen is you also doing a work for God. So your children can see it, and your grandchildren can see it. It's not enough just to talk about it. You're sitting in a church that is stood, and let me remind you again, I understand we're not a perfect church. We've got ways to go. We need to move forward. We need things to do. But you have the privilege of being in a church where the word of God is preached, and God is blessing, and things are going on, and have for the last 30 years. You have the privilege of that, but what's going to happen? When you get up into the leadership, what's going to happen? Listen, I've got a little thing I'd like to read you. It says this. On January 18th, 1982, four members of the Air Force Thunderbird Precision Flying Team flew their jets into the ground. Their boss, Major Non Lowry, was leading the team in a move called the Line Abreast Loop. As the four planes turned upside down and began to dive toward the ground, Lowry experienced a mechanical failure that prevented him from pulling his plane out of the dive. Along with their leader, the other three jets crashed into the ground at the speed of 490 miles an hour. You know why? You know why they flew their planes in the ground? They was following their leader. Because of mechanical problems, he could not pull his plane out of that dive, and all four of those planes plunged into the ground. Now, what I'm saying to you is this. If you don't have the leadership, if you don't have people standing up and walking with God and leading a church the way it's supposed to be led, the folks, it's going to crash. I'm not just talking about a church. I'm saying the very same thing about families. If a family doesn't have the right kind of leadership that's going to go right and do right and lead their family right, it's going to crash. It's going to have to be people that's going to stand up and say, I'm going to walk with God no matter what happens. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to do it God's way. I'm going to stick with the old paths. Not people who just talk about it. It's people who will do it. Amen. You understand this, preacher? You see, it doesn't work just to talk. Now, should we talk? Yeah, I believe we should. I believe we ought to make proclamations. I believe we ought to say, this is where I'm going to stand. I believe we ought to do that. I believe that with all of my heart. We ought to say, we ought to let be known where we stand and what direction we're going. But it isn't enough just to stand and talk about it. It's to get it done and to do it, because the trials and the tribulations and the troubles are going to come your way. And old Satan's going to do everything he can to get you off track and get you off of those old paths. How do I know that? Because I've seen it happen over and over and over again. I've seen preachers that get off the old path. Made a determination a long time ago. It doesn't make a difference to me. It does make a difference, but don't make a difference to me what other preachers do. I'm going to stick where I believe God wants me to stick. I'm just going to stick with the stuff. I'm not going to change. I'm not going to go off here to one side. I'm just going to stick right down the center. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. But there's others that are not doing that. There's Christians that's doing the very same thing. A lot of them would never come to a church like this. They don't want this. They don't want this kind of church. They would never set foot in it. Because they want to go another direction. They want to go the liberal way, as Brother Swavey said. Amen? Sure. But anyway, I'm just simply saying to you, folks, if you're going to stay on the old path, you're just going to have to not talk it. You're going to have to do it. Day in and day out. Year in and year out. Amen? Let me just look at some things that I believe we need to do. I believe there's an old path of true conversion. I'm getting discouraged somewhat in Christianity today because they're getting away from the old salvation. They're getting away from the true conversion. I just happen to believe something. Everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because of the fall in the Garden of Eden, I believe every person is a sinner. Made a difference who they are. They're a sinner. And I believe that the only way they can get saved is through the redemptive work of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. There isn't any other way. And I believe we need to be regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God. We need to be born again. We need to be different. There's a new spirit comes within us. It's called the Holy Spirit of God. When a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit comes in to live. It's impossible to ever be the same when the Holy Spirit is in you. Not talking about little quirks that people might do and all of those. I'm talking about when the Holy Spirit comes in you, you'll never be the same. You cannot be the same. You're a different person. You look at things differently. And we need to get back to that old-fashioned repentance that we find in the Bible. I believe something. There ought to be emphasis on sin. The problem is sin. That's the problem. Amen. The problem is not having a good house to live in and a bad community to live in, the influence of people around you. The problem is sin. And we need to preach that, and we need to preach the fact that the reason, because of that sin, the wrath of God is poured out on sinners. See, it's hard to get that over today. I mean, you can get it over, but people just shake their head. They don't want to believe that. But the wrath of God is upon all of those that have sinned. Amen? Amen. And the only way that we can get that taken care of is the shed blood of Christ. And be born again into his family, you see. We also need to realize that, you know, when a man is in sin, it separates him from God completely and fully until salvation comes. and reunites him with the Savior. I'm telling you, I believe with all of my heart, we've got to get back to this truth, the old path of repentance. Repentance. Man needs to repent and trust Christ. Amen. Believe that with all of my heart, and we need to get back to that, and we need to preach that. Listen, you know, today there's a lot of people are telling people just turn over a new leaf and follow Jesus. Let me say something to you. That's an inadequate message. Here's what the Bible says in Isaiah 55, verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Repentance. Not just turning over a new leaf. Repentance. You see, we need to come down on that and hold to that old path of repentance. It takes repentance for a man to come to Christ. Not only that, we need to get back to the old path of belief in the whole Bible as the inspired Word of God. Oh, you say, Brother Ross, I'm sitting there, I believe it. I believe all the Bible. I believe it. We hear you preach and you talk about the old King James Bible and all those things. And that's right, we preach that. And you say, you can sit there and you say, I believe it, but do you follow it? No, do you believe it enough to follow it? See, you might be able to talk it, but do you believe it? I've had so many people, in all seriousness, there's just things that they do sometimes, and I'll say to them, but here's what the Bible says. Well, I know, but I don't see anything wrong with it. What do you mean you don't see anything wrong with it? If the Bible says it's wrong, it's wrong. See, we don't believe the Bible enough to mind the Bible. We need to believe and do what the Bible said. All through the Word of God, it says, thus saith the Lord. Amen. And we believe that, you see. Today, men are convicted, are convinced by all kinds of philosophers and scientists and universities and colleges and sometimes even religious colleges and schools, convinced that the Bible is not the Word of God. I'm talking about denominations that teach that and in their colleges and in their seminaries or cemeteries, I mean, one or the other. Usually it's cemeteries. But anyway, they teach that. And you know what's coming into the pulpits of America? It's not the old paths. It's some kind of a new thing that comes into the pulpits. I'm telling you, they're turning them out by the thousands. Those people who do not believe the Bible is the Word of God. You see, you can't get away from that. Young men, any of you that's called to preach anywhere you're at, well, don't you ever walk away from the Bible. If the Bible says that you believe it, you do it. Amen. Absolutely. It's not a matter of just saying we believe it. That's what I was talking about earlier. We talk a lot, but do we believe it? Do we believe that old path? You don't stay on the old path by talking. You stay on the old path by doing. This church hadn't been here for 30 years by just talking. Amen. We're not on the path we're on today by just talking. That's why we still run buses. That's why we still have soul winning time. That's why we still work with children throughout the ministries of this church. That's why we do all those things we do. Why? Because we believe it, not just talk about it. We believe it. Amen. So we need to believe the Bible, not just talk about believing it. We need to believe it and let it be the guide of our life. And not only that, we need to get back on the old path of modesty and purity and separation from evil. You know, I guess it's just so disgusting to me. And I can't even understand. I can't comprehend how a person can say they've got the Holy Spirit of God in them. And I'm talking about dress in nudity, the way people dress nowadays. That I cannot comprehend the two. There's no way. I don't even want to. I mean, the Holy Spirit of God is in me, and it's in them if they're saved. You can't walk around in nudity and immodesty and say the Holy Spirit of God is in me. Baloney. We need to get back, and we need to preach the purity of the Christian life. We need to realize, and let me say to you, wherever you're at in your marriage right now, wherever you're at right now, you keep those vows that you made. Don't you run around and walk away from those vows that you made before God Almighty. Wherever you're at right now, you stick right there. You stay there and you keep those vows. You got problems, you work it out. You do everything you can. Amen. Ask God to help you. Main problem with marriages today is because they will not mind what God says in His Word. I would say that about my marriage. I'd say that about your marriage, any marriage. I don't care where there's a marriage that will have a problem. The reason is they're not minding the Word of God. See, we need to get back to that. And there's such a lax and Lord spirit in this country today, but not only in this country, but in the churches of this country, the Lord morals, where it used to be if a person in a church supposed to have been a Christian would do some of the things they do today, they'd have been kicked out a long time ago and should have been. Either that or they would have repented and come back to God and walk with God. Amen. So we need to get back to it. It's not a matter of just talking. It's a matter of doing. It's a matter of walking in the old paths. I believe in the old paths of honoring God and keeping His commandments. You take the Ten Commandments and just go over those Ten Commandments, and I'll tell you what, they'll keep you straight. The Bible says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Do we? Do we have things all the time that serves as a god in our life? And God says, no, you're not to have any other gods before me. God says you'll not have any idols. You know what it's about time for us as Christians to do? It's about time for us to put our darling Isaacs on the altar and slay them. Do you know why God told Abraham to put Isaac? Because it was his darling Isaac. It was the one thing that he loves so much. Don't we understand that that's what God wants us to do, is put our darling Isaacs on the altar and let him be slain? But we don't want to do that. We want to keep our darling Isaacs. We don't want to do it. And you know what they become? They become idols to us. Amen. No, I don't know. You've either had them or you've got them now, but you've got an Isaac. You've got a darling Isaac in your life that you don't want to give up, and that you're not willing to give up. I don't know what that is, but you've either had it or you still have it. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You know, I've thought about that thing a lot of time, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but one day it hit me. The awesome responsibility for a person when they get saved, they claim Christ as their Savior, and they walk into the waters of baptism. They are picturing death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ and also of themselves. And then walk away from that baptism as though nothing happened. Sometimes never to show up at church again. As far as I'm concerned, it's taken the Lord's name in vain. It's a shame. The baptismal thing is a serious business. I know it's not salvation, but it's serious because our Lord has commanded us to do it. And when we get baptized, that means we've been buried with Him and rose again in newness of life. That's what it means. And that's the way we ought to walk. See, don't take the Lord's name in vain. There's so many of them. I'm not going to go on with them, but you can take each and every one of those. Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. You know, we're living in one of the most covetous generations that has ever lived. Do you know we spend most of our time wanting other things and wanting more riches and wanting more things? And yet God says not to covet. Why don't we get back to the Bible and believe what God says? Why don't we do what God said? See, not just talk about it. Oh, I believe in the Ten Commandments, Brother Ross. Do we follow them? Do we do it? Amen. And then, of course, the old paths of wholehearted surrender and dedication to God. I want to tell you, it's amazing nowadays, and I'm serious about this. Many times, parents don't want to even give their children up to the Lord. They do not want them to serve God. They think that's a menial task. They think they're never going to make any money. They're not going to be able to have the things of this world. Shame on you, parents. Shame on you. Give your children to God. And let Him use them. It's the greatest life that they'll ever live. And then not only that, young people, please give yourself to the Lord. Whatever it is God wants you to do, give yourself up to it. We need preachers. We need preachers that'll preach the Word of God as it is. See, but that don't happen by talking about it. It happens by doing it. Year after year after year after year after year after year. So if you commit yourself to the Lord, don't do it for 6 months or a year. Do it for a lifetime. We need to get back to that old path of surrendering ourselves and dedicating ourselves to God and giving ourselves up to God. And we can say that. We can come to an altar. We can say it somewhere else. And we can say, I'm just going to be this for God. I promise you. Well, let me say something to you. Don't just talk it. Don't mean a thing. It doesn't mean a thing to talk it if it's not followed by actions. Amen? Then the old paths of raising children and the admonition and nurture of the Lord. You see, we're so afraid that we're not going to meet the standards of this world. That our children's not going to be like the world's children. That we don't want them trained in the ways of God, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Well, let me say to you, and I'll say it maybe as kindly as I can, but shame on you. Shame on you. You would ever let your children be raised for the benefit of this world. Shame, 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 shame. Say without hesitation. You're going to put your children in the public school. You're turning them over to the devil. You need them in a good Christian school. We have some homeschoolers that do homeschooling, and I appreciate that very much. And I realize they're not putting them in a public school. But I want to tell you need them in a Christian, a place where they'll be taught about God every day of their life. To even think that you would turn your children over to the devil's crowd is just unbelievable to me. Unbelievable. We need to raise them in the admonition and the nurture of the Lord. Nurture and admonition of the Lord. And not only that, the old path of faith and trust in the living God. You know what this world needs to see? This world needs to see a group of people and individuals that are just believing in God and trusting. No, they don't say that. It's not talk. It's walk. Just every day of their life, they just trust God. Problems come into their life, they just trust God. They believe in God. We need to see that good, that wonderful faith and trust in the true and living God in people's lives. Every day, not just a little while, but every day. The Bible says that Moses chose affliction with the people of God. Why? So he could be a man of God. So he could walk with God. You know, it's the Christian life is going to have afflictions to it. But we've got to stand for God, with God. Stand like Moses stood and Daniel stood, and we just need to determine we're going to launch out and just do some things for God because God wants us to, and we're going to do it. We're not going to just talk about this matter. We're just going to do it. Now, I said earlier, talk all you want, but action is going to prove it. Hear me? Now, talk don't mean anything unless it's followed by action. I preached that for years. I've seen it developed in years. I see the people who do talk it and they do walk it. I've seen the others who talk it and don't walk it. The old paths are going to be helped by people who walk it. See, the reason Israel got away from God is because they got off of those old paths. Show you one more thing. We'll close over in the book of Hebrews, 11th chapter. I want you to turn with me and show you something. Hebrews 11th chapter. I want to read verse number 33 and 34. The Bible says, and of course this is the faith chapter, we call it that, the faith chapter, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered from about in sheepskin and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. You know the reason these people could do that? There's a secret in verse number 34 that simply says this. It says, out of weakness were made strong. Now let me tell you the problem with most of us Christians. We're not weak. And because of that, we'll never be strong. We've still got our pride. We've not committed ourselves completely to the fact that we are nothing without Christ. But with Him, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. And what I'm saying to you, we just need to get to the place where we are weak and realize it and understand it so God can give us strength. It's not a matter of talking. It's a matter of walking. The old paths, whether you, a few years from now, will be still walking in those old paths, is going to be determined by the choices you're going to make. It ain't going to be determined by the circumstances that around you. Because let me guarantee you, the circumstances will be there. I can testify of it for the last 33 years. Circumstances will always try to get you off the path. Always will. People will try to get you off of the path. The devil will try to get you off the path. But you have to determine, I'm going to walk the straight and narrow. No, I'm just going to do it. And I want you to proclaim it, but I don't want you to just talk about it. I want you to do it. And that's going to come a day at a time. Because troubles, trials are going to come your way. Oh, yes, they will. Yes, they will. Some of you are young. You've not seen troubles and trials. No, you haven't. It's okay if you haven't. It's perfectly okay. I'm glad you have it. But I want to tell you, you will. Pressures will come upon you. Yes, they will. And then's when it's going to be determined, am I going to stick with the old paths or am I going to walk away? See, a church, if it's going to stay in the old paths, as people's been saying for the next 30 years, it's going to have to make a determination. It's going to have people that step up and step up to the plate and are willing to do it, not talk about it. Do we have that group of people? Well, I didn't say we didn't. I said, do we have it? Time will tell. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Father, again, thanking you for the wonderful Bible, the Word of God. Once again tonight, Lord, thank you for, yes, the 30 years. Thank you, Father. You've always been faithful. Lord, men are never completely faithful as we should be, but you are. Thank you for your faithfulness. That's why we stand here tonight, because you've been faithful. So once again, Lord, I pray, and I pray for this church, God, as it goes forward, that it'll go forward in the power of God, continuing to do things for you, Lord, until you come. I pray for that. And I pray you'll put some strength and some backbone in some of our men of this church. Not saying they're not good men. I'm just saying they need some strength and backbone. They need to be strengthened so they'll stand for the things of God and stand for the paths that you've established. So, Father, once again, ask your perfect will to be done. We'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.